Amen. We're looking at God's Word again from Luke chapter 8. If you want to look there with me, I won't be lengthy, but I do want to take a few minutes and talk about the soil. This morning we talked about the seed, the Word of God. We talked about the sower, and the sower I thought Seth was going to testify. That'd be all right. Amen. The seed is the Word of God. The sower is Jesus and all of us who are followers of Jesus. We are to be sowing the seed, broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ every day of our life. And the reason is because we know the great potential in the Word of God, how powerful it is. Our words, well, they can have some impact and influence, but the Word of the Lord, it has power. It has an impact, and it can really, really bring about change in the lives of people. The book of Luke, chapter 8, and verse number 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I can't think of anything more sad and more horrible than to get to the end of your life, your Christian life, and to have no fruit to show for your life. What a sad, sad thing to not be able to bear fruit. Now, when Jesus gave this parable, as I've already mentioned this morning, he talked about that the seed was the Word of God, the sower was Christ himself and you and I. But the soil, what's he talking about when he describes the soil? The soil is the heart condition of the hearers. The heart condition of the hearers, their ability to receive the word, the receptivity of their hearts, and the soil being able to receive the word of the Lord. You see, the soil, as we've been talking a lot about this, the soil has to be prepared for the seed. There can be no fruit unless the soil has been worked. It has been plowed. It has been broken up. It has been fertilized. And it has been rained on. And then it is prepared for there to be a seed sown and fruit to come for those who are patient enough to wait for it to come. Now, God can prepare any heart. I have a firm conviction, and if you don't, you need to You need to ask the Lord about this, and you need to study the scripture about this, because I don't believe that there is anyone so hard-hearted and so resistant that God can't do a work in them and prepare their heart and do a work to bring them to that place that their heart condition can be changed so that they can hear the word and they can hear the gospel and they can receive it, and then the change can take place. And so God is able to implement the sharp blade of the plow, as we talked about a couple of Sundays ago. And he plows deep furrows in the hearts of people. How does he do that? Well, sometimes the plow is through, it's in trouble, it's in adversity. Sometimes the plowing of the Lord, it comes with a great deal of pain and unrest and troubling. There's nothing easy about it. The breaking up of the fallow ground of a person's heart. God has a way of doing that and bringing a people to the place that their heart is changed. Amen. And you've witnessed this before. Someone be witnessed to for a long period of time, and then suddenly, after much prayer, after much calling upon the Lord and God working in that person's life, he prepares their heart, they receive the word, and they're saved, gloriously saved. Amen. There's not anybody, no one, your loved one, your spouse, your children, nobody that you think is too difficult. They're not for God. They're not for the Lord. The Lord is able to speak to them and to deal with them and work upon their heart and bring them to the place that they can hear the gospel and receive it. Amen. Now, it will, in many cases, be a process of time. I've known of people who have prayed for people for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, that they've prayed for people, and they never did give up. They held on in faith, and God answered that prayer, and the heart that was resistant and hardened over all those years, God was able to soften that heart, break up that fallow ground, and cause them to receive the truth. Let me tell you what happens whenever someone, when God's working on their heart. They don't find any pleasure in anything that they're pursuing. God's working on someone, and they get into a state of misery. They get into a state of unhappiness. They can't find any real pleasure that lasts any length of time at all. The Bible talks about that sin. There's pleasure in sin, but for a season. But that season runs out for folks. It comes to an end, and they keep doing what they were doing, and they used to find pleasure in it. But God, when he's plowing in their life, he's bringing them to the end of that season and to the place that they're finally, God is dealing with them and bringing them to that place that they find no joy in anything or no happiness. There's nothing but misery and emptiness in their life because of the plowing of the Lord, breaking up the ground, dealing with their heart. What a wonderful thing it is that God, by his Spirit, can deal with the hardest hearted sinner and can break up their heart and can change their heart condition. He can do that. And he is doing that for those of you who have been faithfully praying and working sometimes with people that are unsaved. Not only does he break up the ground, but he can fertilize. Fertilizer adds the nutrients, the vitamins, the various things that are necessary to the soil so that it has the power and the strength to be able to take the seed and grow the seed. And I told you, you know, how I helped my grandfather fertilize his garden. And most of the time they buy fertilizer. Old timers didn't. They would use all different types of ways to fertilize, but they all knew the process. What would happen is he would add something to the nutrients necessary to the soil to make it strong enough to be able to bear fruit. Amen. So what does God do in the hearts of the unsaved? How does he? Well, he breaks up the ground. He works on them, and the blade of the plow works on them and brings them to a place that he's changing their heart condition. And he fertilizes it. He adds things that they need. The Bible talks about the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. A lost person can begin to recognize the good things that come their way. Do you understand that God is merciful to your unsaved loved one every day? God's merciful to them. He gives to them good things every day, and they don't even think about it. They don't even consider the goodness of God. They think they deserve it. They think they've earned it. They think that just because their cupboards are full and their bills are paid, it's because they've went to the job and made the money. But oh, how wrong they are. It's the goodness of God. It's the mercy of God, the grace of God that has empowered them and give them the ability to do those things. It's all from God, and they never even recognize it. They don't acknowledge that God has any part in their life at all. But whenever God is plowing in their life and he's dealing with them and bringing them to the place, then they have an awakening. They begin to realize, they begin to see the hand of God. Oh, this is God. It must be God that's doing this. God that's working in my life. God that's providing all of these things for me. Amen. And all these good things that come our way, it's God who is showing his love and mercy and goodness to us. When we were undeserving and unworthy, we deserved the judgment of God, but God was just sending good things our way and preparing our hearts. The goodness of God, the graciousness of God, all these wonderful gifts of God that come to the sinner when he doesn't deserve it. But when God is dealing with him, God awakens him to the realization, oh, this isn't me, it's God. This isn't my labors, this is God's mercy to me. And God works in my life. Let me tell you, Terry Jen is alive today because of the mercy of God. He said when he turned, or when he looked up, that truck had turned in front of him, and he said, I first said, what are those lights? And he said, and then I was on the truck immediately. Crash. And if it wasn't for the fact that he was in a big diesel truck and that he had a big steel unit on the front of that truck to be able to put a blade on the front of it to take care of snow and ice in the winter, because of that, he said, no doubt, all of that was there, and God preserved his life. Now, he didn't acknowledge that it was God. He was giving credit to his old pickup truck. It wasn't the pickup truck. It was God. It was the goodness of God. It was the mercy of God. It was God that was working and providing his love and mercy that was being extended to him. And that's how he works in the hearts of sinners, when he begins preparing the soil of their heart. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 2, it says, or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering of the Lord? That's what sinners do. They say, oh, God didn't do this for me. God doesn't have anything to do with this. I've got this big, nice car. It's because I work hard for it. I've got this home. It's because of my abilities. And I've got a bank account, and I've got all these good things in my life, and I've got health. I deserve this. That's what the proud, arrogant sinner thinks. And Romans says, here in chapter 2, you despise thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, that you reject and you don't even consider the fact that God has provided for you all these wonderful things. And it's the mercy of God. The goodness of God is like the fertilizer. God sends all these things we need and all this goodness that comes our way. Amen. I know it might be a little bit of a stretch as far as my application tonight, but maybe not too much. And then after the fertilizer, there has to be rain. There has to be the former rain. There's the rain that comes in the seed time, the planting time, and then there's the latter rain that comes. This was in Israel. That latter rain came as a time to bring the fruit completely to its ripe and ready condition. The rain was necessary. It was necessary in the planting. It was necessary to bring forth fruit. Well, the rain is the working of the Holy Spirit. The rain is the working of God's Spirit. Amen. And, a rain in a big field or a garden, if it's a gully washer, that's probably not what they really need. A lot of times when a rain comes like that, most of it washes off, runs off. But what the farmers need is just a slow, steady, continual raining. Just a soaker that just soaks down into the ground and prepares the soil to receive the seed. Amen. And that's what God is doing whenever he's dealing with the hearts of sinners. Amen. Wherever they go, on their job, in their home, with their family, all, it's just the continuous rain of the Spirit of God that's resting on them, that's falling upon them, because God is preparing their heart to receive from the Lord. My mom prayed 38 years for my dad to get saved. Gary Norris went several times a week to talk to him in the last months of his life. Gary told me, I would go and talk to your dad. And he my dad really loved Brother Norris. He really liked him a lot. And he liked for him to come. And they would talk about, you know, whatever, the weather or whatever was going on. But when Gary would talk to him about the Lord, my dad would just kind of hang his head, didn't have much to say. But Gary kept going back. A lot of people were praying. We were praying. People in a lot of places were praying for him. And the rain of the Holy Spirit would just gradually sink down deep into his heart. And 2 weeks before he passed away, Brother Gary goes back just like he had gone week after week, several times a week, to talk to him. And this time when he went in, they had their little chat about, you know, whatever was going on, a little small talk. And then Gary turned to spiritual things and said, John, why don't you pray with me? Why don't you, I don't know exactly the wording he said, but he talked to him about the Lord. And my dad, instead of bowing his head and turning away, that day he was ready. That day he was ready. It was years of prayer. It was years of the plowing of the Lord. It was the years of the goodness of God coming his way and the rain of the Spirit of God upon his life. And on that day, he opened up his heart. On that day, he repented of his sins. And he wept and he cried and he got saved. And even though his voice was so weak that he could hardly talk, he told me on the phone, I got saved. I got saved. He told my mom, a neighbor lady across the street who was no more saved than nothing, who came over, and she was just a good neighbor, and she knew that she would come and bring food or various things over. Her name was Frances, and she came into the house, and my dad in his weak voice says, let me tell Frances what happened. That's what happens when you get really born again. You want to tell somebody. And so my mom got up, Frances, and said, come in here beside John's bed. And he witnessed to her the first time that he'd ever witnessed anyone. He witnessed to Frances about getting saved and about the goodness of God and the mercy of the Lord that saved him. I want you to know there are people that you're praying for and you have given up on them. And you think that there's no way that they're able to be saved, that they could ever turn to the Lord. Oh, you're limiting the power of God. You're limiting what God can do. Oh, he's plowing and he's sending his mercy and his goodness and his grace into their life. And he's raining the Holy Spirit upon them and preparing their heart to receive from God. And they're out there. The men, that's why I'm encouraging you. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for your children. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your family. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for all these folks. Call them by name and believe that God is working on them, working in their hearts to bring them to salvation. Now, there are four different heart conditions that Jesus dealt with, and I'm just going to take about 10 more minutes on this. There were four heart conditions that he mentions here. And the first one, verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The first group are the calloused heart people. The pathway, the wayside, was the pathway between the fields that were broken up. It was the way that they would get to the fields. They would get their plows and their animals to the fields. And so that wayside was beaten down. It was hardened. And that's what he is describing here. That wayside, that pathway, like we would probably call it a sidewalk, but it was pounded down by the farmers and the animals and everything that would take that wayside pathway, the pathway between the fields and around them. It really represents the familiar. It represents the things that are common. It represents the fact that the field was broken up, but that area wasn't broken up. And so a person that has a calloused heart is someone that really don't see their need for God. They don't see their need for the gospel. They're okay without church. They're okay without the Bible. They're okay without serving God. Their heart is calloused. They think they're okay. They're moral. They pay their bills. They're a good old guy or a good old person. And that's just who they are. But instead, what's really going on is there's a pride and a stubbornness and an arrogance in them because they don't think they need God. And so whenever the seed falls on the wayside, it can't take root. It's too calloused. It's too hardened, and it can't take root there at all. Their pride and their stubbornness has brought them to this place that they're too callous to receive the gospel. So the seed is sown, but then the devil comes right along and steals that seed so that it doesn't take root and it is not able to grow. Do you know someone like this? Do you know someone? Maybe your family member, your loved one, they're not saved and they don't think they need to be saved. They think they're a good person. They don't think they need to go to church. They don't think they need the Bible. They don't think they need anything spiritual. They're a good person. Goodness doesn't get you to heaven. Morality, your own personal morality doesn't get you to heaven. You must be born again. You need to be saved if you're going to make it to heaven. And so the calloused heart is the pathway that's between the fields that's gotten hardened. Let me tell you, pride will keep you from God. It will keep you from God. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. He is self-sufficient, he's independent, and he doesn't think he needs God. What can God do with that calloused heart? He can break it up. Amen. He can break it up, and he can deal with them, and he can speak to them, and he can bring that pride down and humble them and help them to see that they need to call upon the Lord. That's the calloused heart. Then there's the shallow heart. Verse 13, that seed that's thrown upon a rock. It was a rock and just a little bit of soil on top of it. Just enough for the seed to get started, but to never be able to develop any roots at all. This kind of represents the shallow heart that kind of can have an emotional experience. And you've seen it, and I've seen it over the years many times. Someone come to the altar and they pray and they cry and they're really emotional and you just think, wow, they have really had an experience with God, and then you never see them again. They just walk out and it was a shallow emotional experience. No depth to it all. They move toward God, but they don't last at all. The seed has there's no root system that ever could develop in their life. We've all seen it. You've seen people who've made this emotional connection with God, but then they walk away because they've really made no commitment at all to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a shallow heart. And God can deal with that shallow heart also and break up that hard, fallow ground to give them a root system that's going to cause them to be stable and sure and steadfast in their relationship with the Lord. Then verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. This third is the worldly heart, that is caught up with a love for the world. They never make the break with the world. They had no intention. When they come to God, when they prayed, they have no intention of making a break with the world and the things of this world. This person is so attached to the world with all of the things that it has to offer that they cannot make a break with it. They're just so connected and so attached to the things. It's a dangerous thing to allow the world to get a hold of your heart. If you allow the world to get a hold of your heart, it will pull you away from God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. It will pull you away from God every time. If you develop a love for the things of this world, the ways of this world, the thinking of this world, the affections of this world, and you allow all these things, the pleasures and the joys that the world has to offer. And some folks have been completely convinced, I can have the world and have the Lord too. Well, that's just not biblical at all. It's just not the truth. There's a deceptive lie that's going around these days, and it's permeating the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can follow the Lord and still have a heart for the world. Big mistake. It's not going to happen. It's a worldly heart. And that, all of those thorns and thistles, all of those things that represent the world, they grow up and they choke out the word. Every time, if you allow yourself to be caught up in the things of this world, it will choke out the goodness of God, the truth of God's word. There's been a lot of people who have started off with a real strong spiritual zeal and a real interest in the things of God, but then they were weakened by all of the distractions of the world that choke out the things of God. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This world is passing away. All the attractive things of this world, they're temporary. They're passing away. Don't sell out the temporary for the eternal. Amen. A worldly heart. And then the fourth is the good heart. Praise God. The fourth soil, and by the way, this is 25%. Does that mean that that one out of four that you cast your witness, your seed, that they're not going to hear? Well, I don't know necessarily that that's true, but one out of four was good ground, good soil. There's going to be a lot of people, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to receive the gospel. They're not interested. You can witness to them, you can talk to them, and they're caught up in some of these other things that have distracted them. But the fourth soil, the fourth ground, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. There's a difference in that good soil. There's really a difference. It's receptive. It's open. It's willing to hear the truth. It's willing to make the changes. It's willing to follow the plan of God and the will of God. And it grows and germinates, and before long, it's producing fruit after fruit after fruit because it's good soil. I'm going to stop right there and just one more time encourage you. I know that some of us, it's easier than with others to witness and to declare the gospel to people, but we all are called of God to do it. Give them God's word. Give them the seeds of truth and be faithful. There will be those that you preach to, that you witness to, they will receive. They will be ready. Their heart will be open. Their heart will be good ground. And they will receive the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. So don't lose heart. Be encouraged to know that God is at work. And even those that are hard and calloused and resistant and prideful and all of these others, you know, worldly, all of these things, God can work on their hearts as well. Amen. And bring them to a place that they will hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have commissioned us, called us to reach our world. That's our own little circle of influence. And I thank you, Lord, that you've not only called us, but you've empowered us, the power of your Spirit, Lord, to carry the witness and declare the word of the Lord. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that hearts would be stirred, Lord, to respond and to move forward and to see lives changed for the glory of God. Hallelujah.